Name, amen. Good morning. This morning I was sitting in my office preaching to the deer in the backyard and they all left. So I hope that's not something that's going to happen today. I want to repeat part of Job 12, 9 through 10. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, and whose land is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? In 1972, I bought a brand new Ford Maverick. It was bright blue with black racing stripes. It was equipped with a Boss 302, had California side pipes, and had fancy rims. It wasn't long, and I had it jacked up, I had it souped up, and it had loud exhaust. My mother felt like she was riding downhill every time she rode with me. And she didn't like that all the girls waved at us, and she didn't like the way the engine ran rough when she drove it. But she could squeal the tires just as good as I could. I took it to a fall youth retreat. I had it spotless inside and out. And when I come back from the first meeting, the kids there had filled my car completely full of leaves. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Little did I know that God would be working on my pride for a very long time. Today's scripture is one verse taken from Ecclesiastes 7:13, and Pastor Jesse said he would like this, only one verse. Ecclesiastes 7:13, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? And by the way, it didn't take long, and I had many points accumulating on my driving record. I sold my car and bought a truck. Please listen to the words of this prayer. Lord, thank you for being in control of our lives. Lord, we make plans, but you determine our steps. Thank you for knowing what is best for us, even when we don't understand. Thank you for being patient when we feel frustrated when things aren't going as planned. Father, thank you for loving us enough to not only save us, but direct us. Thank you for taking care of us like a shepherd does his flock. Thank you for your protection, provision, and perfect love. Help us to trust you, knowing we wouldn't have it any different if we knew what you knew. Thank you for being faithful, trustworthy, and true. We love you. We need you. Thank you for being all we need at all times and in every situation. In Christ's name alone, amen. All I need at all times and in every situation. It took me a while to learn that. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm the last name on the prayer list on the back of the bulletin. If anyone out there would like to trade with me, I'll gladly do that. But Paul disagrees with me. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 are these words of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I was raised in a Christian home. We read the Bible every night at supper time. We went to church twice on Sunday. I went to youth group Sunday nights. I went to catechism on Wednesdays. But what really got me thinking was heading to the bus after school one day. Two of my friends were arguing. One friend told the other one, "Go to hell, I'll meet you there." Consider the work of God, right? Oh, he shouldn't have said that, but yes, I was supposed to hear that. Psalm 33, 13 through 15 says this, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. He was already fashioning my heart." I've been a Christian most of my life, and I've also been a self-employed builder for a lot of it. And there are many times that building took priority without me realizing it. 35 years ago, I attended a church downstate called Grant Reformed Church. I signed a promise to God saying that I would read my Bible and pray every day, and that promise is in the safe at the church. I kept my promise, but many days my prayer would be in my truck on the way to the job site. One thing I learned as I got older, my words don't compare to reading scripture over my family. Colossians 1:9 through 14 is a prayer I often use. For this reason, we also do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I didn't quite pray like that on the way to the job site. Many mornings, I was concentrating more on work than I was on praying. Plus, I was always building and remodeling the places where we lived. Our friends said my wife was spoiled because of the nice homes we lived in. Truthfully, most of them were never completed until like a week before we sold them. I didn't realize where my pride was. I didn't brag about our beautiful home so much. But my dad told me, don't break your arm by patting yourself on the back. My problem was I'd get up at 5 a.m. every morning, and I'd work until I couldn't go anymore, literally. Even got my boys to help. That's probably why they both moved to South Carolina. They're still in construction, but they're both supervisors. That probably was a smart move. I also wasn't following God's commands. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, it says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit with them in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, I do have a Christian sign hanging over our entrance door. Now, I might be 72 years old, but this next scripture still reads the same. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. Did you hear that? Understanding was mentioned three times. Intertwined in this, we went on several mission trips, my wife and I and even our children, 7 in the States, 2 in Mexico, and 1 in Honduras. I really enjoyed doing this, but looking back, I went more as a builder than I did as a missionary. And I'm a hunter. Genesis 27, verse 3 sits in my windowsill in our family room. Please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out into the field and hunt game for me. My wife says she feels like a widow from October 1 through January 1st. That's deer season. Pride here is called bragging rights, especially when other family members hunt, like my grandchildren. I went 35 years in a row bagging a deer every year. And then one year the Lord said no. I had one opportunity and I missed. But there is something about bragging rights that we might not think of, even if we don't do it ourselves. Remember the people giving David problems about bragging rights? He had killed more people than Saul did. So when the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, 1 Samuel 18:7. The women were mocking King Saul, but David had nothing to do with that. And what happened next? And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul. And Saul cast his spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall with it. But David escaped twice, 1 Samuel 18:10 and 11. We don't know what bragging rights are going to do. In David's case, it was a ripple effect. But I can hear it now. My grandpa shot more deer than your grandpa. That's not my intention. I just love to hunt. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. We could totally be in the right, but still could have effect, because it could still affect others. I started limping, even to the point of falling down. Had my left hip replaced in 2006. But that only slowed me down for a couple of months. Then in 2013, I needed both shoulders and both wrists worked on, and I didn't have health insurance, and I was still paying for my hip replacement. Through a friend, our Lord directed our path to Nicaragua. They wanted $50,000 here in the States. But we were in Nicaragua for 6 weeks, plus I had a kidney stone surgically removed, and including airfare, it was $13,000. Proverbs 14:26 was going to become our verse. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. We were supposed to stay with my friend's father, but he had family problems and ended up being in Florida. We ended up staying with Ronnie and Tandy, which is Pastor Scott's brother and sister-in-law. I did not know that until Pastor Scott came out to visit with me after one of my surgeries. And I have emailed Ron and Tandy every day since then, and my wife has kept in contact with several of the nurses at the hospital. It's hard sometimes, but we have to accept the way God does things. A friend gave me this little tidbit. God puts us in uncomfortable situations, which is good for growth. It's God's ability to penetrate into a person's inner being, exposing their true thoughts, intents, and desires. And God was slowing me down again. In 2020, I had my gallbladder removed, and I'm so glad I did. I didn't know it at the time, but I was having gallbladder attacks, and I just figured it was more kidney stones. And I yelled at God a few times, asking why, and I felt guilty, and it was because of Job. I remember the first verse. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one that feared God and shunned evil. I wondered if Job would have yelled at God over a little old gallbladder attack. Anyway, my wife took me to Berriga, where they took images, and since it was Saturday, there was nobody there to read the read them, so I was transported to Portage via an ambulance and had surgery that afternoon. I had two stones, one the size of a chicken egg, the other size of a walnut. My gallbladder was filled with gangrene, and was attached to my liver. The surgeon said I wouldn't have lasted much longer, and he also said it was the first time he had to open up the incision to get my stones out. Accept the way God does things. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16:9. Why do I say that? The image of my gallbladder also showed a spot on my left kidney, which turned out to be cancer. So off to the University of Michigan to have my kidney removed, an 8-hour surgery. Yes, they removed it, but they also removed the cancer and put my kidney back in. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. John 14:12. Now, I might be stretching this verse a little bit, but how about the physical healing aspect? I've named 4 different hospitals I have been in. Jesus only could heal one person at a time. After almost a week, I was released, headed home, made it to Lansing, went into AFib. My wife stopped along the highway, dialed 911. We happened to stop at the right on-ramp. How lucky was that? The police, fire truck, and paramedics were there in minutes. They'd all attended a wedding at that on-ramp. Proverbs 20:24 comes to mind. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Oh, and about that lucky part, when we lived downstate, we got an envelope in the mail that said, please keep your change. We want to buy a new piano for the Christian school. Good luck. Well, I crossed good luck out. And I said, good luck is not part of the Christian vocabulary. We live in an imperfect world, and if we're not careful, we find ourselves out of position to be of service to God, even lying in another hospital bed. The doctor told me I would be released if my heart went back to normal before midnight. At 10 to 12, it flipped back to normal. I had told the nurse that I was praying that that would happen, and she said that was the first time she had witnessed a miracle. I was so weak, I only made it to my brother's house downstate. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days. I was beginning to wonder if my number of days was running out. My brother was thinking the same thing. Our life is short compared to eternity, and the choices we make have eternal consequences. Hebrews 10, 36 through 38 says this, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." If anyone draws back. If anyone draws back. It doesn't say unless you are weak, laying in a hospital bed. It says if anyone draws back. Jonah drew back, tried running from the Lord. How'd that work out? They say that Noah worked at least 55 years on building the ark. Never drew back. So do I want to be a Jonah or a Noah? And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." 2 Corinthians 12, 9. So after 2 weeks, I was able to go home. Well, I didn't quite make it home. We have friends that have a camp just this side of the bridge, and we stayed there, and then I made it the next day. Ephesians 3, 14 and 16 says this, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant me according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Next on the agenda was my right hip replacement. I already had my left one done, as you know, and they had to add an inch to my right hip to match my left one. My right foot also pointed way out, and they had to straighten that as well. It was a very painful procedure, but they didn't tell my brain that I had to pick up my foot that extra inch. I started tripping, even falling down. I had to start walking with a walking stick. I had to be very careful. And I can't keep up with my grandson anymore. I walk with a walking stick to keep my balance, and it's not long, and my grandson disappears over the horizon. Of course, he's only 20. Hard on my pride some days. And talk about pride, our grandson Bryce got a nice turkey. But there was another pride out in that field. See, I had to put my walking stick, hide it behind the turkey, so nobody would see it on the picture. I have also rolled my four-wheeler and cracked some ribs, had several hernias fixed, had cancer removed from my scalp, more kidney stones, and then because of my AFib, I was ending up in the hospital room, or in the emergency room, every other night. My heart was beating 200 times a minute, and the doctor said it was like having firecrackers going off in my chest. That's exactly what it felt like. So I had an ablation done. I couldn't have any metal on my person, so my wife took my wedding ring. She misplaced it at the hospital. I thought maybe that I was beginning to wonder if she was getting sick of being my caretaker. But my wife would get on Facebook, and it wasn't long and she'd have many, many people praying for us. One thing we have to remember, we have the power at our fingertips, and it's seldom used to bless others and further God's kingdom. That's what we can use our cell phones for. Except the way God does things. 2 days before my ablation, my wife fell and broke her wrist. I mean, snapped it right off. I couldn't take care of her. We had friends come, stay for a whole week until I was strong enough to be her caretaker. And through this, my blood pressure started to rise. Can you imagine that? Two things I want to add. Excuse me. I told you that my wife and I have been on several mission trips here in the States, plus Mexico and Honduras, and we loved it. And the second is, I hate my cell phone. Psalm 139, 1 through 3 says this, O Lord, "You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." Through all these surgeries, God has said no more physical mission trips. Use your cell phone instead. Since December 2013, I have been sending a daily message every morning at 5 a.m. Some of you receive it directly from me or through my wife's Facebook page. What's important here is that I don't quit. Remember my dad said, don't break my arm, patting myself on my back. I'm not doing that here. Except the way God is doing things. What kind of messages would I be sending if I was a happy, nothing goes wrong, do-gooder? Illness is a fact of life. You can't avoid it. However, what you choose to do during your illness will make a world of difference in the quality of your life. You can choose to respond in a way that allows for growth and maturing, or you can respond in the flesh, which hinders your spiritual growth. And one thing to remember, if you receive my message, remember Proverbs 27:14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be accounted a curse to him. It comes at 5 a.m., so make sure your phone is on silent, or you will be rising with me early in the morning. I want to end with these words from Lottie Kaufman. Often God seems to place his children in a position of profound difficulty, leading them into a wedge from which there is no escape, containing a situation which no human judgment would have permitted had it been previously been consulted. It does not seem perplexing. It does seem perplexing and very serious, but perfectly right. The issue will more than justify him who has brought you through. It is a platform for the display of God's almighty grace and power. He will not only deliver you, but in doing so, he will give you a lesson that you will never be able to thank God enough for having done just as he is. And without people like you praying for me, I probably wouldn't be here today. So thank you. That's it, I'm done. I was supposed to last 20 minutes, I talked too fast. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for giving me this opportunity. Lord, this is out of my comfort zone, as you know well. But I just thank you for getting me through it. I just pray, Father, that your words through me will bless others. Give us the strength, Lord, as we go out each day to do your will. Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to exactly do your will because we don't know what it is. But Lord, your will is to love you and to love others. And that's what we have to do every day. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail, but Lord, you give us the strength to continue on. And we thank you again for giving us this building, Lord, to come and worship you freely every week. And we just thank you, Father, for that. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.